From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. People are already calling this the year of Internet television. Go online nowadays and you'll find enough video to see why. In this segment of the program, is Internet TV the next big thing, or just a grainy pastime for kids and bored office workers? There's a lot out there. Startup companies are attracting capital. Established networks, CBS, ABC, are putting primetime programs out on the web.
Mookie, trap spoken.
Previously on Desperate Housewives.
NBC won a Webby this month for versions of The Office called Webisodes. It's the first time there's been a Webby category for online film and video. Advertisers are buying exposure to your eyeballs for that brief time after you select an item and before it starts playing. And it seems like every week there is a new website offering something that you can watch on just about any computer.
You're watching TV Guide Broadband.
Welcome to Car and Driver.
Welcome to From the Balcony on Movies.com. I'm Stettler.
And I'm Waldorf.
Michael Eisner has invested in a racy teen drama just for the web called Prom Queen, unencumbered by FCC language restrictions.
Who should Danica go with?
Danica should totally go with Nolan.
Nolan, are you joking?
Many amateur shows and video blogs look almost pro. Wallstrip offers daily stock news.
Today on Wallstrip, we take a look at Railway Transportation Holding Company, Kansas City Southern.
There are even internet shows about internet shows.
This is Viral, your look inside internet television.
One person who thinks there is a big future for internet television is Jeremy Allaire. His company, Brightcove, recently raised $60 million in capital. Brightcove builds internet channels for clients, and it runs its own channel. Allaire says one reason for the current profusion of online video is the profusion of broadband.
Consumers are just spending a lot more time online, and they're using that for their own communications, but increasingly they're using it as a primary source of accessing media. With the introduction of more and more broadband connections into homes, we're also finding that it's now possible to deliver a very good quality experience with video. And so the combination of that with an incredible shift in advertising dollars from traditional television spending to online is creating a real market opportunity for the creators of professional and commercial video content to expand into global distribution on the internet in a meaningful and profitable way.
Let's take on first the issue of television quality. I can look at Brightcove or YouTube, and I can look at it in a small box. It looks very good. As soon as I go to full screen, it's not like my HDTV at home, for sure.
Yeah, I think there definitely are some differences in that viewing quality. However, I think the end user behavior and expectations are very different. On the personal computer, what end users who use the web every day, they come to expect that they can very conveniently and easily find content of interest instantly and have instant gratification to watch that content on demand, whether it's a web page or a piece of video. So I think, you know, we see billions of videos being viewed online, you know, every week, and people are even willing to accept sort of small grainy videos from amateurs on a YouTube and very high quality videos on commercial sites. But, you know, clearly the bigger the picture and the higher quality the picture, the better. And I think we're continuing to improve and inch towards that. But I don't really think that's the driving factor in terms of mainstream acceptance of this today.
That's the view of Brightcove's Jeremy Allaire. Here's how Dan Rayburn of Streaming Media Magazine, the trade publication of the internet video industry, describes the difference between internet video and conventional television.
When you go to watch TV, it's a lean back experience in the sense that you're really just leaning back and you're watching. When you're watching video online, it's a lean forward experience in the sense that typically it's very interactive. While you're watching a video, you can read something pertaining to that video that's tied into the video as well. Many cases with a lot of online video, they want you to take a poll or a questionnaire. So the content companies are trying to leverage the eyeballs that they're getting via traditional means of TV distribution, bringing them over to the web, and then offering a different type of content experience.
Now, there's another distinction, at least in my experience, of what happens to my eyeballs when I'm looking at these two different media. When I'm watching the television, I may not have the patience to see it through, but I'm typically watching, say, a ball game that might go on for 3 hours, a movie that might go on for 2 hours, or perhaps an entertainment program or a news program that might go on for 30 minutes to an hour. When I'm looking at video on the computer, I'm more often looking at something that runs for 52 seconds or 2 minutes and 20 seconds, something that's much, much shorter.
Yes, absolutely. We're talking about the difference between short-form and long-form content, and the web so far has really been suited best for short-form content.
Is it because people can only sneak so many looks at the computer while they're supposed to be doing their work at the office, or because there's something about looking at the picture on a computer that limits the amount of time we can look at it?
That could be part of it. We certainly saw that during the CBS March Madness, when it took place during work hours, and they actually had set up a system where you could actually click a button so that the video would disappear off your desktop. So if your boss walked by, it didn't look like you were watching basketball. But primarily it's due to the fact that consumers so far have not adopted the idea of, I'm going to sit in front of my computer and watch a 2-hour movie that I've downloaded. That's a business that is yet to take off. The movie studios have been working very actively on it. But it's also a matter of we're bombarded with different types of entertainment content daily across many different types of devices, and there's a limited number of hours that we can just literally sit in front of the computer and try and consume content.
But on Dan Rayburn's beat at Streaming Media, the bombardment persists. A new entry into the field is Juiced, an internet TV service from the people who brought us the free internet phone service, Skype, and the free file sharing site, Kazaa. They are Nicholas Zennstrom and Janice Fries.
You're watching the National Geographic Channel On Demand.
You're watching Mutt, Hot and Wet.
The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
The two of you are champions of free services on the internet. How will somebody make enough money to make it profitable to make a video that people will want to watch on Juiced or some other internet television service?
Well, funnily enough, this is actually exactly the same way as TV. We think one of the reasons why TV has been so successful is because you just turn it on and it's there and it's free because it's advertising sponsored. So we're actually using very much the same model, of course, with the added kind of targeting and advantages of the internet. And we have 30-plus top-tier advertisers who are all bought into the platform.
So that means that while I might want to watch some sports account from Moldova, I'm also going to see a commercial for a soft drink before that comes on.
But what we think what we can do is, because of the targetability of the internet, we think that we can show only ads which are relevant for you. So you don't need to watch ads which you're not interested in. For example, if you don't have kids, there's no use for us to show diapers advertisement for you. So we can have much, much less advertisement than what you're used to from television.
So you're promising the advertiser less spillage, in effect, because
exactly.
You're connecting somebody's obvious interest with something that you think they might be interested in buying.
Exactly, because one of the biggest drawbacks of traditional TV, because it's a broadcast medium, which means that everyone gets the same signal, you haven't been able to target the advertising at all. And we all know the effects of that. And many people are really tired of the amount of advertising. And this is something that is going to change now that you have TV on the internet.
That's Janice Fries, the creator with Nicholas Zennstrom of the new online video service, Juiced, which is spelt, by the way, J-O-O-S-T. For an industry whose current cliche, we're told, is that content is king, there are a lot of commoners out there. The word programming in this medium covers a multitude of sins, from extreme sports to juvenile flatulence jokes to network reruns that were no better on a conventional TV screen. Here's NPR's Laura Seidel reporting about one show that is made especially for web viewers.
It's a cliché story, a young actor tirelessly going to auditions, an aspiring writer shopping a script around. One day, writer Hayden Black realized that he didn't have to wait for Hollywood.
I don't have to go around to agents or producers' doors, knocking on them saying, would you please read my script, and then have it go on top of a pile the size of Kilimanjaro.
Instead, he brought together a group of aspiring actors to perform his work, and he broadcast his show over the internet.
AIDS, now third leading cause of death.
Iran vows to help Iraq.
Burbank Airport loses lots of luggage.
Good night, Burbank.
Your award-winning 11 o'clock newscast.
The internet television program is called Goodnight Burbank, and it's a comedy about life behind the scenes of a local news show.
It harkens back to, say, watching my parents watch the news. They just took it so seriously, and I wanted to show that the people who bring us the news are just as flawed as everybody else.
Last year, Goodnight Burbank won a People's Choice Award from the Vloggies for Best News Vlog. The episodes are about 5 minutes long, and new ones turn up weekly. Most of the show takes place during the off-air moments when the anchors and reporters reveal their true selves. Behind the scenes, anchors Kelly Jones, that's spelled J-O-N-E-S, and Gordon Winston Smythe bicker because he's a secular liberal and she's a Christian conservative.
Under the new Democrat leadership, Capitol Hill has extended its work week to 5 days. Shelby Swartz is in D.C.
Despite setting an agenda for...
That's the first problem with the Democrats. Gotta fix what ain't broke.
Kelly, under your lot, the week began on a Tuesday and ended on a Thursday. That's like 2 days.
Hayden Black plays Winston Smythe and Shuley Cowan is Jones. Cowan says she's not doing this for the money, especially since the show has yet to get any ad sponsorship.
It's nice to get just such a wide-ranging opportunity to have so many people see you. And people say, I want to see you right now. I want to know what you're in. It's like, go to goodnightburbank.com and check me out.
There may be reasons that Goodnight Burbank isn't getting ad dollars. According to Big Champagne, which measures online viewership after a spike last December, the program's audience seems to be shrinking. Still, there is enormous interest by big media companies in finding new content for the web, and Black says they are being solicited by traditional media executives. Paul Sappho, a Silicon Valley technology forecaster, sees this moment in internet television as a bit like the 1950s in the early days of TV.
This is the period of experimentation and interesting failures. And most of these things either fail outright or go along for a while and then fail. But the people who create them go on to do other things.
It also makes this an exciting moment to be experimenting online, says writer-producer Hayden Black, because although there is no real money in it, there's lots of creative energy.
The spirit of giving really seems to be kind of unique to new media, and I hope it lasts for a while.
But as larger players like Juice TV start to make deals with other big media companies, technology forecaster Sappho thinks this is a fertile moment that will likely end too soon. Laura Seidel, NPR News, San Francisco.
So, is some show like Goodnight Burbank going to be the Seinfeld of the next decade? Well, if video entertainment really does migrate to the internet, consider the challenges it may encounter. Tougher competition for those advertising dollars. Possibly government regulation someday. And who knows, even the claim of conscience to provide some civic-minded public service. This is All Things Considered from NPR News.